The Panthers Insider Show is on. Pat Bostic here with you for the next hour. Talking Pitt sports. We got a lot to dive into today. We got basketball portal talk. We got the NFL draft coming up this week. Obviously a big weekend in Pittsburgh sports will precede the NFL draft, and NFL football fans far and wide will converge on the North Shore for one of the bigger spectacles that our city has ever hosted. The NFL draft starting on Thursday, and you can get your Pitt flavor at the NFL draft. Pitt Block Party at Arts Landing, April 23rd to 25th, 9 to 6 p.m., free to all fans, partnership with the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust, and Arts Landing, a new location down in the city, in the cultural districts. It's a new four-acre gathering space. It's awesome, and looking forward to being there at the corner of Fort Duquesne Boulevard, right off the Rachel Carson Bridge, and it kind of spans all the way from Fort Duquesne Boulevard to Penn Avenue. There's a lot going on. There'll be merchandise. There's a food trucks. There's a little combine area. You got a legacy hall with all sorts of history of Pitt football and much, much more. Odyssey will be there. We'll have Star 100.7 and Y108 doing live remotes. There's a chance that this show is happening there on Saturday. Not confirmed yet, but we could be live on site Saturday, next Saturday at 8 a.m. on North Shore, but undetermined at this point. Kids Zone, Team Store, College Football 26 gaming area, and yard games and so forth. So looking forward to that. And then obviously the NFL draft itself. And the NFL announced this week legends and active players that will announce selections at the 2026 NFL draft. And I'm going to go through a lot of Pitt flavor, starting with, we're going alphabetical here, the Arizona Cardinals will be announced. Their first pick will be announced by James Conner, who obviously was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2017 in the third round. He will announce the Arizona Cardinals pick. Got Jimbo Covert coming into town, legendary Chicago Bear, Pro Football Hall of Famer, and the pride of the University of Pittsburgh will be announcing the Bears pick. Tony Dorsett will announce the Cowboys pick. And there's West Virginia and Penn State flavor here too, but Pat McAfee, Paul Posluszny, Bill Moss, a great, great Pitt player, will announce the Kansas City Chiefs pick. And the NFL was obviously intentional about having Western Pennsylvania natives, Pitt, obviously former players, announcing these picks to bring that Pittsburgh flavor. That's why you see, although he's not from Western Pennsylvania, Brian O'Neill will be in town to announce the Minnesota Vikings pick. He is a second-round pick of the Vikings in 2018 and entering his ninth season in the NFL, if you can believe that. Curtis Martin will announce the New York Jets pick. Obviously, a long-time career with the New York Jets, also a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Joey Porter Sr., Joey Porter Jr., the Steelers picks. Jerome Bettis will also announce the Steelers picks in addition to John Stallworth, so they've got a full complement. Andy Lee, who punted for what seemed like a quarter century, nearly, for the San Francisco 49ers for the bulk of his career, but then spent some time with the Cardinals and the Panthers and the Browns. So it's a great group. A great group of Pitt men will announce the picks in the NFL draft. We'll have all that activity on the North Shore and a lot of programming with Pitt flavor as well. And want to take your calls, 412-928-9370 today. You know, Joel, I've been talking to a lot of people, and it seems to be really a 50-50 split between people that are here in Pittsburgh wanting to go down there or wanting to be nowhere near it. And I'm curious what your thoughts are, 412-928-9370. I'm going to catch a flavor of it on Thursday, I think, and then probably stay away. What about you?
We don't know the next time the draft is going to be in town. You know, it's been going to so many different cities across the last, I don't know, decade or so. We don't know the next time it's going to be in Pittsburgh. I'd like to get down in some capacity and see the stage, hear a selection name or two, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's not, you know, I'm not down there for a lot of time, just to say I went down there at least would be real cool.
I feel like if you're a sports fan, and now if there are zealots out there that go to every city every single year and do it, and I'm sure there are many of them that have gone for decades upon decades of drafts in a row. But when you're in Pittsburgh and the pride that Pittsburgh has in its football and the football lineage and history in Western Pennsylvania, and you're a fan, I think you got to experience it, if even for a little bit. And my 9-year-old wants to go, so I have no, I have no choice in the matter. So he will absolutely, it's take your child to work day next week. So, I mean, I got no choice but to take him down there to experience the NFL draft and what it's all about. We got some calls coming in here. Let's go to Rick on the road. Rick, good morning. You going to the draft,
hey, good
Rick?
Good morning, Pat. Hey, Pat, good morning. Hey, I'm going to stay away from the draft. It's a fiasco, and it's a completely inorganic event. I mean, unless you cover it for a living, I mean, who knows who the defensive end for Oregon is? I mean, or who knows who the tight end for Oklahoma? I mean, it's like fantasy football for the NFL teams, and I just see no interest in it.
Well, there's one take. So he's part of the 50% that I think are just have no. They don't want to go down there because it's going to be a fiasco. Now I'm curious, though. I should have kept Rick on the line, and I appreciate his call. I'm curious if Rick would feel differently if the Steelers were drafting first overall and maybe taking a quarterback. Probably wouldn't, but who knows? Let's go to Gus in Beaver County. Gus, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Keep up the good work.
Thanks,
real
brother.
Quick. I'm part of the Larry Bruno Foundation down here in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. We have a sports museum, and we're having a tailgate kickoff party pre-NFL draft on Wednesday, April 22nd from 12 noon to 8 o'clock. And the whole public is invited. We have a lot of nice artifacts and memorabilia in there. We got some guests lined up. Walt Harris.
Oh, nice. Confirmed
that he might be coming down. And we're going to have food and refreshments free to the public from 12 noon to 8 o'clock. The address is 1112 7th Avenue, Beaver Falls. And, you know, that's Joe Namath's hometown.
Oh, yeah.
The whole city of Beaver Falls is on board with this. It's really going to be jumping down there. So if you want to do something that's related to the draft and come down and see what we're doing down at the Bruno Sports Hall of Fame, it's a very neat building with some beautiful artifacts in there. Everybody's welcome to come down.
I appreciate your call, Gus, and that plug for that Hall of Fame and that gathering. I mean, that's the kind of stuff, though, that is popping up all over the place. I mean, draft parties and so on and so forth. And you know, again, it's going to be chaos. It's going to stress the city streets. It's going to bring a lot of economic impact to the area. And I don't think there's any doubt that that's a positive thing, despite the inconvenience, perhaps, from a traffic standpoint. I know a lot of people in the city will be working remote that week, or at least towards the tail end of the week next week, to try to avoid it. But certainly, if you're looking for something to do, the Pit Block Party at Arts Landing is going to be a lot of fun. And it's a little bit removed from the draft site, obviously, because it's across the Sister Bridges and down in the Cultural District. You can take the T down there and avoid all the North Shore stuff and get directly into town and enjoy that. Friday and Saturday, obviously, once you get through the first round, it would appear that it will calm down a little bit, and then, you know, Saturday might be a nice day for Pittsburghers to get down there and explore it, from what I hear, but certainly will be like we've never seen before, an event like we've never seen. I'm looking at the build-out, Joel, that's outside the stadium, and what they've built inside the stadium, the aerial views that you see of the tent and so forth inside the stadium. There's a lot of work that's gone into this, and Pittsburgh has certainly rallied around making this quite the event. As we take your calls, 412-928-9370. We'll get through the draft talk. Obviously excited about that. Pitt basketball, both men and women, very active in the portal. I want to recap the spring game as well this morning. Obviously, we haven't talked since then. We broadcast that on our sister station, KDKA, AM 1020 and 100.1 FM last week. Jeff Hathorn in the booth, Doran Dickerson and myself on the field. It was a lot of fun. A lot of observations. We were directly behind all the action, got to move around and really see the final installment of spring football and what we see from this Pitt football team heading into 2026. But I want to just recap the Panthers Choice Awards really quick as well. And if you don't know what they are, they're presented by LB Foster, who's awesome, awesome partner of Pitt Athletics and a great company here in Pittsburgh. It's an award, an end of the year award, hard to believe we're towards the end of the academic year at Pitt, that honors all sorts of performances throughout the course of the year, both academic, from a teammate standpoint, administrators. But the highlight is what goes on the varsity walk every single year for the University of Pittsburgh. And the varsity walk is on the back end between Heinz Chapel and the Cathedral of Learning, right there on the University of Pittsburgh, right in the central campus. The varsity walk is about as iconic as it gets when it comes to if you're a Pitt athlete and you want to be remembered and you're a legend and you're going to be immortalized, your name on that varsity walk. Well, that is announced at the Panthers Choice Awards every single year. And this year is a star-studded cast, and it's appropriate that we talk about the NFL draft and then we segue into this because Kyle Lewis was one of the winners of the Panther Award, which was presented to the male and female senior student-athlete who promoted University of Pittsburgh athletics through his or her outstanding athletic achievement. Kyle Lewis for football, Bree Kelly for women's volleyball, obviously had a terrific career, all-region player, all-conference player, just a centerpiece of those back-to-back-to-back-to-back Final Four teams that Dan Fisher has put together. And then the Blue Gold Award is presented to male and female student-athlete who best represents the student-athlete ideal based on academic scholarship, athletic achievement, and leadership qualities, and also their citizenship and contributions to the community. Luke Augustine from wrestling, who had a sling on during his the photo op with the actual concrete, the actual stone that will go on the varsity walk. He battled the whole season with a shoulder injury and had to have that thing fixed up following competition. And then Gracie Calhoun from lacrosse, who's been a key part of building that program really from nothing for Coach Boissonneau. So congratulations to Luca, to Gracie, to Kyle Lewis, and Bree Kelly. And Kyle Lewis could have a pretty cool back-to-back weeks because I think we're going to hear his name called at some juncture next weekend at the NFL draft. And we'll see if it's Friday. I don't think he's going to creep into the first round, but certainly has an opportunity to tail into the second, into the third, and potentially the fourth round for Kyle Lewis to get his name called. And there'll be a host of Panthers that await their location and destination to play in the National Football League, which that's what really the draft is all about. You know, obviously there's the hoopla. Fans want to see who their team picks, but for a bunch of young men, whether you're Mr. Irrelevant or the overall first overall pick, it is the culmination of a dream coming true and the beginning of living out that dream playing in the NFL. So that's what the NFL draft is all about. Coming back, we'll recap the spring game, keep the football theme going, and then we will get into the basketball portal, the commits, the signees, all the goings-on in what is a chaotic. You talk about chaos with the NFL draft. The basketball portal would say, hold my beer to the NFL draft because it's been quite chaotic. More on the Panthers Insider Show after this break on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Huge weekend in Pittsburgh sports. Joel, what do you think of those City Connect uniforms? Much improved, in my opinion.
Yeah, I really like the yellow, but this is more of a true Pittsburgh feel, yeah. I thought.
I liked it. Obviously, the Buccos got a win last night, and it's a Paul Skeens day in Pittsburgh. Skeens on the bump tonight for the Pittsburgh Pirates on a homestand against the Tampa Bay Rays. Split their last series. Not thrilled with that, but obviously an opportunity to win a big one against a good Tampa Bay team and continue their winning ways. The bats have bailed them out at times. Their pitching has been solid. This looks to be a team that is going to be in contention for a playoff spot here in a few months, but a lot of time between now and then, a lot of baseball between now and then, and Bucco Talk is following the show with the esteemed Jason Mackey. Well, he'll get into all the details about this Pittsburgh Pirates ball club and their matchup tonight with the Tampa Bay Rays. Mason Heinchel, one of the first pitch participants last night. Really cool for him. I think he's the first college player, to throw out a first pitch, at least from a pitch standpoint, and seemed to acquit himself nicely. Chris Muller from the PM team also throwing out the first pitch. But the star of the show was A.J. Burnett, who would have looked perfect in those City Connect Pirate uniforms, just given the Batman connotation. Really cool to see Burnett back in Pittsburgh. Obviously had a huge affection for this place given his time here and was a critical part of the last playoff Pittsburgh Pirate baseball team. So a lot going on there. And then we got Penguins Flyers, which little backstory on Penguins Flyers, Joel. You know, I grew up in the eastern half of the state, you know, growing up watching Eric Lindros and John LeClair for the Philadelphia Flyers back in the day. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of love lost for the Penguins. And I have completely flipped in all of my allegiances from a sports standpoint. So my parents that are listening to this, probably this is probably one of the more disappointed moments they have, is knowing that their son, who they raised an Eagles fan and a Flyers fan and a Phillies fan, is now talking with great pride about the Penguins and the Steelers and the Pirates. But listen, when you're in college and you're practicing right next door to the Steelers and you get a chance to know them and they win a Super Bowl, and then you got the Penguins winning multiple cups, and then you get to go to PNC Park. And do you see the aerial shots, by the way, of PNC Park last night? There was an Amazon broadcast. I know it was on Sportsnet Pittsburgh. Just phenomenal, and should be a great show tonight. Speaking of show, the last practice of spring ball, the spring scrimmage, not really a blue gold game per se, but the Panthers on the gridiron concluded spring drills last Saturday with their spring game at Acrisure Stadium. The phone lines remain open, by the way, 412-928-9370. You want to talk spring ball, you want to talk Pitt hoops. Transfer portal success so far, Jay Kuntz, new general manager, Jeff Capel, obviously retooling his staff as we speak, but Jay Kuntz is man in the show, man in the controls in the transfer portal, and Pitt has what, by all accounts, is a top 10 class committed at this point. We'll get into that in the final segment, but what's your thoughts at 412-928-9370? Wanted to share my thoughts on the spring game. And again, Doran Dickerson and I had a chance to be on field level and provide commentary with Jeff Hathorn in the booth. And Alan Green, director of athletics at Pitt, joined us along with Stephen Thompson on the broadcast. Got a quick moment with Pat Narduzzi. But it was an offense-defense scrimmage. We saw ones-on-ones for the most part. And it started with a big Jakarian Turner run. And that would be my first observation from spring ball. And it was evidenced in the spring game was that Pitt has improved up front, and they have a running back that I think can be an all-conference level player in Jakarian Turner. Just his second-level ability to take it the distance. We saw it last year, the run at Georgia Tech, but there was more from him, and he seems to have taken another step this year. And Pitt has also fortified, you know, its offensive line with the pickup of Nantino Olivieri from Penn at left tackle and moving Kendall Stanley into guard. And by the way, Kendall Stanley and Davin Bruton, linebacker, were named the Ed Conway Award winners. Ed Conway, the late play-by-play man for Pitt football and the University of Pittsburgh, worked alongside my partner, the voice of the Panthers, Bill Hillgrove, up until the early 70s. The Ed Conway Award is given to the most improved player in spring ball, and Kendall Stanley was one of those players. He was the offensive representative, and again, he played some tackle last year when Percy was hurt. Had his moments, but also struggled at times, but seems to have found a home moving him to guard Ryan Coretta, rather, at center, and then B.J. Williams and Ryan Bear on the right side of the offensive line. But no sacks in the spring game, ran the ball effectively. Mason Heinschel did his thing back there, threw a touchdown, ran for a touchdown, and was efficient throwing the football. Equally efficient was Holden Gariner. He transferred from Texas State, was also at Auburn prior to that. Had a really good day throwing the ball, and we talked about it on the broadcast. I had PTSD a little bit because you saw Mason Heinschel wearing a red jersey, but all the other quarterbacks were clad in the white jerseys ready to be hit, and that was what it was like being a backup back in the day when you were competing for that number two spot. You were live. It allowed the defensive line, linebackers to tackle a quarterback, which you don't get a chance to do very often in today's football. Most of the time, the quarterback's in a different colored jersey. That means stay away. Give him a 3-foot halo and stay away from him. But Gariner was terrific. Two big touchdown passes to Malik Knight, a transfer from Western Carolina, 6'2", about 195 pounds. Caught a slant route and took it the distance and then caught a go ball down the sideline. Gariner was excellent all day long throwing the football, which is good to see because, you know, that quarterback room is crowded. Obviously, Heinschel's, you know, your guy. He's the face of the program right now. But for Gariner to show while being live and being able to be hit, the mastery of the offense, the ability to distribute the ball, push it downfield and connect on some of those deep balls, good to see because they want that veteran presence from him. That's why they got him. Corey Daly has a lot of upside. Bo Jackson, the walk-on, has been, I think, a pleasant surprise and it will probably earn a scholarship at some point. And Angelo Renda got some good snaps in that spring game later in the proceedings, showed his athleticism for sure, being able to run the ball. But you want Holden Gariner to be that number two and you allow Corey Daly to really develop. We saw flashes of what he has to bring to the table in terms of arm strength. You know, on the defensive side, we talked a lot about Cruz Brookins on the broadcast. You know, he had a pick in a kind of red zone period of Mason Heinschel that he nearly returned for a touchdown. That didn't count in the points. The offense won the scrimmage by leaps and bounds, but there are periods that count and periods that don't. We don't have access to those specifications, rather, when it comes to the point system. But he had a nice pick, continues to just lay the wood in the run game. We still don't have a full feel for this Pitt defensive line yet. Again, Zach Crothers not back. But we saw Fitzsimmons making plays, Nick James making plays in there. Ghost Neal all over the place, playing defensive end almost exclusively. You know, the linebackers, Braylon Lovelace now playing the star position out in space. You know, that has been the position that, you know, we've seen players parlay into All-American type status, right? We saw Kyle Lewis do it. Rasheem Biles would figure to be able to do it. Did it a little bit in the bowl game. Braylon Lovelace has played Mike the last couple years, and last year most exclusively. He's also played, you know, into the boundary. Now he's going to play into the field and have a chance to play in space and really use his athleticism, blitz, and do all the things that made Kyle Lewis, obviously him as a player, he earned it, but put in a position to make more plays and to show, you know, his athleticism and what he can do. And he showed out in that game. Alex Sanford played well. Jeremiah Marcelin in the middle. And the back end, man, is just loaded for this Pitt team, just loaded with depth and talent. So much so that Sean Lee, who was a freshman All-American a year ago, played a little bit of safety in the spring game, played a little safety in the latter stages of spring ball, which I think speaks as much to his versatility as it does to the depth the Panthers have at corner and the confidence they have in some of their acquisitions out there. You know, they've gotten better, and they have, you know, a lot of depth with Zion Ferguson. They have depth with Shedarian Harrison. Obviously, Sean Lee played at a high level a year ago. They've picked up pieces in the portal. Rashawn Murray is back for another year. But on the back end, the safety spot, which we know is a critical component of this defense, and for Pat Narduzzi, that quarter's defense, it's a little inexperienced behind Bruce Brookins. So to bring a guy like Sean Lee over there with Josh Guerriere, who's played a decent amount of football, predominantly on special teams, but played some snaps at safety last year, you feel good about having another veteran, experienced player back there. I say Sean Lee's a veteran, but he's played in big moments. He's played in big games. You know, moving him back to play more field safety, you know, it's basically an off-corner position anyway with the way the Panthers do it. And the guy's an excellent tackler. He's an excellent tackler. He's a tough customer from Harrisburg, PA. So really a lot to watch in that spring game. The kicking, the punting still continues to be a battle. We'll see who emerges in fall camp. But all in all, I think a solid conclusion to spring ball for Pitt. Stayed healthy in the game. I think the offense, based on my evaluation of the 15 years I've been calling games, is about as crisp and gelled about as much as I've seen in a spring practice. And I think that speaks to who you have at quarterback and some of the talent they brought in, and now a third-year offensive coordinator. So really like what I saw from this Pitt team as they head into summer conditioning, strength training, and get ready for the 2026 season, which is only months away. As the NFL draft converges on Pittsburgh, we are under 200 days easily to the beginning of a football season here in the city of Pittsburgh, and Panthers will take on Miami of Ohio to kick things up in early September. Coming back, we'll go to the hardwood. We'll talk some Pitt basketball. And again, nothing final, right? We've got commits in the transfer portal. Jeff Capel and company, Jay Kuntz, the new general manager, constructing this roster, reconstructing it, I should say, with maybe one returner. We've got rule changes potentially abound in college sports, but the reality is Pitt basketball trying to put together a roster that makes an NCAA tournament. And based on what I see so far, I think they're well on their way. More Panthers Insider after this break on 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show. Pat Bostic wrapping things up. Getting into some Pitt hoops talk, both sides, men and women, got some updates, got rosters being put together. Joel Nelson capably handling the ones and twos behind the glass. Phone lines open for the last 15 minutes or so, 412-928-9370. Your thoughts, Panther Nation, on how this Pitt basketball roster is coming together? 8 commits at this point, a top 10 class on the men's side by virtually every measure. It fluctuates daily based on where the portal's at, with thousands of players in the portal now trying to find new homes. And guaranteed picks brought to you by Voss TV and Appliance, family-owned for over 60 years and the lowest prices in town, guaranteed. I guarantee there'll be more movement for sure in the portal. There's no certainty when it comes to things, but obviously the Panthers, as we sit here this Saturday, April 18th, have put together a pretty good roster. And Robin Harmony on the women's side as well, signing the Barbet twins from down at her formal school, the University, Charleston, obviously very capable players that come up here to the University of Pittsburgh now to play for Robin, her former school, the College of Charleston. They were very effective. New York natives coming a little bit closer to home, and they continue to assemble that roster. But on the men's side, you know, I want to commend Jay Kuntz and Jeff Capel for what they've done in the portal. Obviously, got to get to the finish line. The portal is open for about another week, and then you'll have some finality as to where things are once things are signed, sealed, and delivered, as they say. But so far, so good for Pitt, and we'll go through these commits one by one at this point. And again, we know not what is to happen with the 5-for-5 deal, right? The five-year window to play 5 years. That could impact the likes of Cam Corhan and Barry Dunning. I'm not holding my breath on that per se. The NCAA is contemplating implementing that provision, but I would say, you know, probably more likely to be in the future than it is to be right now. We're pretty midstream, and to thrust that upon college basketball coaches at this point, midway through the portal, that, oh, by the way, the guys that played, you've built a roster, you've been aggressive in the portal, you tried to keep who you could keep, and now all of a sudden, you know, guys that played for you that you thought had exhausted their eligibility can come back, I think would be a bit unfair at this point, but crazier things have happened. We don't know about that. What we know about is that Pitt has secured commitments from a number of really good players, and we'll go through them again one by one and get you a feel for who these potential Panthers may be. Armani Mighty is the big guy out of the group, 6'10", 240. Started at Boston College, was productive there, transferred to Central Michigan, and then ended up at Mercer, where he was a co-SoCon defensive player of the year, one of a small group of players in college basketball to average a double-double on the year, averaged 13 points and 10 rebounds a game, shooting about 65%. From the floor, you know, really physical, big presence down low, can play on the block, and obviously can man the glass and defend the rim, which is critical. He's an excellent shot blocker as well. Dominique Diamande, transfer from BYU, who sat out a year and then played at BYU, started at Washington, and then came to BYU, and a good BYU team this year, played late in the season. Really, as you look at his stats and his splits over the year, has most effective minutes towards the end of the year, playing Kansas State, WVU, and then Houston in the Big 12 tournament. It played double-digit minutes in all of those games while being in the single digits most of the year. Seems to be more of a defensive presence. Had three steals in each of those last three games. Scored 6 points twice and 4 points once, but 6'7", about 200 pounds. Originally from Paris, France, gives him an athletic wing that can defend and obviously is younger, so has some time to develop and provide depth behind the likes of Jahlil Bethia, transfer from Alabama, formerly at Miami, who's committed to the Panthers, a 4- or 5-star player, McDonald's All-American, coming out of Westminster, Pennsylvania, and the other side of the state. Probably he's a basketball guy, but might be a Flyers fan. At heart, coming to Pittsburgh, and he had played on a bad Miami team 2 years ago, but did well as a freshman, averaged, you know, about 7 points a game. Went to Alabama to play for Nate Oates, and was in the rotation there. Again, you look at his season early in the year in the non-conference game, scored 21 points against the University of Texas at San Antonio, but was relegated to a reserve role as the season went on, only averaging about 4 points a game and playing about 8 minutes a game. For that basketball team, but his freshman year showed promise. Again, a bad, tough year for Miami in 2024-25. Obviously, they rebounded this year quite nicely, but Bethia is a high-pedigree player that can shoot the basketball from beyond the arc, get to the glass, and can handle the ball. So a little bit of a combo guard at 6'5", 190, but has a lot of length as well. Jonathan Powell, speaking of length, formerly at West Virginia, went to North Carolina, was a part of a good North Carolina team, obviously a coaching change in Chapel Hill, but 6'6", 190 and can shoot it. You know, can shoot it in the mid-30s from beyond the arc, can get to the rim, Again, length on the wing, I think, is a real theme for this Pitt basketball roster that's been constructed so far by way of commitment. So obviously, well, the way this works, right, is you commit, you go on your visits, not as many visits as before, mostly Zooms and that type of courtship, and then you obviously select where you want to go, and then there's all the happenings after that. Most basketball players in major college basketball won't get to campus until the summer at this point. The second summer session for most of them. But the Panthers have done a really nice job putting together a top 10 class to this point by every measurable statistic. A lot of it has to do with who the Panthers picked up at point guard. And it's a familiar face in Nate George, transfer from Syracuse, another coaching change up at Syracuse with Adrian Autry and being replaced by Jerry McNamara. But Nate George, 6'3", 185, originally from Toronto, and just about 4 hours north and moving his way from Syracuse to Pitt. I mean, again, 15 years ago, Joe Nelson, I never would have thought that we'd have players going from West Virginia to North Carolina to Pitt. So let's take the middleman out. You got a West Virginia Mountaineer coming to the University of Pittsburgh to play basketball. You have a Syracuse player transferring to Pitt. I mean, we are in uncharted water, but that's the world we're in. And the waters are choppy, so you got to hold on and you got to stay afloat. But Nate George is a steady hand at point guard for Pitt. You know, you look at the season he had for Syracuse last year, you know, average double digits in the point department, 5-6 assists a game. You know, just a very, very, very good basketball player that is a pass-first guard that the Panthers really need. I mean, and he's got positional size, which really hurt the Panthers last year. I love DeMarco Minor. Love DeMarco Minor. But his size was such a liability on the defensive end at times, especially when the Panthers had to switch against teams, and he would get isolated on the block by a bigger guard or, heaven forbid, a big, and he just didn't have the ability to hold his own down there despite every effort to eliminate the threat. He was undermanned. He was undermanned. He was undersized down there, and now with Nate George, they have size. They have experience. He can score the basketball, but most importantly, he distributes the basketball at a really high clip, and that is what you need from your point guard. Nathan George, a transfer from Syracuse, will play that position for the Panthers in 2026. Again, if this class comes to fruition. I say if because commitment, signed, two different things, right? That's just the way it works nowadays in major college basketball. Perhaps the most heralded pick up for the Panthers in the portal is Baye Ndongo, transfer power forward from Georgia Tech. 6'9", 240 pounds, really good basketball player, had a terrific season. Again, for not a great Georgia Tech team in 25-26, obviously struggled, but you know, played 32 minutes a game last year, played 28 minutes a game this year, you know, averaged 14 points a game last year, and this year 11.6 points per game, nearly a double-double average. Also blocks up the basketball, shot over 50% from the floor, and shoots the three decently. So can stretch you out at the four position and can make an open shot if you sag and are worried about him getting to the basket. So shoots free throws at a decent clip for his size, needs to improve there a little bit. But with Mighty and Ndongo down low, yeah, the Panthers have a formidable 1-2 punch, and we saw it last year just how – I mean, Cam Corhan had a terrific season statistically, but Pitt leaned on him so hard on both ends of the floor to produce, and they didn't have any other options there. I mean, they tried to use Kieran Mullen. Papa Conte was in and out of the lineup injured and didn't finish the season due to injury. There just was no depth down low, and we saw Roman Sialepa try to play down there a little bit. That's not – he can do it. He could do it, but not what he was – that's not his ballywick. So good to have a couple options down there. And then Alon Sumler is maybe my favorite pickup that Pitt has secured. Transfer from Charleston Southern. He is a veteran player. He can shoot the basketball incredibly well, a career 40% free throw shooter. Averaged 23 points a game last year for Charleston Southern, also 5 assists a game. Really good basketball player. You look at the guards that Pitt's put together, and this is, I mean, you look at Jeff Capel's teams, right? aside from Blake Henson, it's been guard-dominated teams that have been successful for Jeff Capel. I mean, that's the way he sees the game. That's the way he puts a lot of onus and a lot gives him a lot of freedom to play. When you talk Nate George and Jahlil Bethia and Sumler and Jonathan Powell and Dominique Diamante on the perimeter, but that three really, George, Bethia, Sumler, and then we'll see about Makari Moore coming back. I liked what he gave last year. We haven't heard about his intentions at this point, but I thought he was an underrated pickup in last year's recruiting class that gave Pitt solid minutes, plays incredibly hard, really good team first guy. But those three, Bethia, Sumler, and then obviously the point man, Nate George, it's a major upgrade for Pitt. Yeah, that harkens back to the Nellie Cummings and Jamarius Burton type of feel with shooting from a Sumler like a Greg Elliott. And I think Sumler brings more to the table than Greg Elliott, frankly, in ability to score the basketball. He's more than a one-trick pony. But then Diamande and obviously down low with Ndongo and Mighty, they've got guys that can defend but finish at the basket. Chase Foster, a freshman that is highly touted. Obviously, we heard about Anthony Falesi deciding to go elsewhere. You know, Pitt's in the 10-11, world right now when it comes to their roster size. But the signees, the commits rather, they've secured so far from the portal have a combination of production and pedigree. And pedigree doesn't promise you anything. Production typically gets you more, but it's the combination of both of them that have me excited about this Pitt basketball roster as it comes into formation, as it comes to fruition, as it begins to crystallize. And we'll learn more, obviously, with the portal closing. Once these young men make the decision, the good decision, to sign to come to the University of Pittsburgh and play for an important season for Pitt men's basketball, obviously. We know this is a critical year for Jeff Capel and for Pitt basketball to get back into contention, obviously to win the Atlantic Coast Conference, but to go to the NCAA tournament, which just concluded, obviously, in March and early April. You want to be in that position. And again, based on all the metrics out there of this class and where it stands, I think we're fair to say that this has the makings of a tournament team, but a lot has to happen for that to be the case. Fan Weather is brought to you by Secure Money Advisors. Looking to retire soon? Let Secure Money Advisors get your retirement on track. Today, high of 82 degrees, partly cloudy, and then becoming cloudy with periods of rain in the afternoon. Wind south-southwest at 15 to 25 miles an hour, 80% chance of rain. Tonight, 42, much cooler, and tomorrow, sunny, partly cloudy, I should say, with a high of 52 degrees, so a bit of a cold front coming in behind the late-day rain here in Pittsburgh today. Hope you had a good time tuning in today. Appreciate the calls early in the show. Appreciate Joel. Looking forward to Bucko Talk with our good friend after this. Obviously, Jason Mackey covers the Pirates exclusively for Odyssey and does a terrific job, works for the organization as well. And looking forward to the NFL draft, man, coming to the great city of Pittsburgh next week. We'll be talking to you a bunch and look forward to it. Have a great weekend. Hail to Pitt.